Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Veronica Reeves at the United Nations in New York. In this week's program, training in business skills and HIV prevention empowers women and youth in Zimbabwe. And we hear from a UN human rights and gender expert in Afghanistan. But first, a video of a celebrity wedding which took place in Brazil is being premiered at the UN. The video is being shown as part of an event that highlights progress made in protecting the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex, or LGBTI people in Latin America. The video features Daniela Mercury, a Brazilian singer who has sold more than 20 million albums. Ms. Mercury left her husband and married her girlfriend in 2013. She's supporting the UN's Free and Equal Campaign for LGBTI Equality with the release of the video of their wedding. Charles Radcliffe, Chief of Global Issues at the UN Human Rights Office, has been speaking to Daniel Dickinson.
The video, which we're calling Celebrate Love, was created by a UN equality champion, Daniela Mercury, who's been supporting the UN's Free and Equal campaign. And it is actually a video that she and her team put together using footage from her wedding to her now wife, Malu Mercury. And it's a beautiful piece. It really is a celebration of their love, of their special day. It's also a kind of celebration of family. You see all the generations coming together and really embracing this couple and the love they share.
And why is this video significant?
Well, you know, in so many countries, not just in Brazil where this is launched, but in countries around the world, there's still a lot of stigma about same-sex couples, about people who happen to be gay and are disadvantaged and discriminated against because of that. So this is a way to kind of break through a lot of the negativity and show that at the end we're talking about two people who are in love and it's something very positive and we should all embrace and celebrate that.
And what reaction are you expecting?
Well, I think there's going to be huge interest, firstly, you know, immediately amongst Daniela's legions of fans in Brazil and around the world. I think people are going to love this video and celebrate with her and with Malu. And there's going to be a lot of interest, I think, much more broadly, that a big Brazilian pop star, you know, this is Daniela is someone who's had 14 number one hits in Brazil, has come out and she's sharing this video and she's part of this global UN campaign. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in that. And I'm sure there'll be, you know, people who criticize it and say that we're promoting a non-traditional vision of marriage too. I mean, we're ready for that conversation. It's exactly why we're having this campaign.
And how optimistic are you that this video will help to end homophobic and transphobic violence in the region?
Well, no one video can do that, of course, but it's all part of sustaining the conversation and taking it into new territory. This region is very interesting because you've seen huge advances in the last 5 years, 10 years, with governments putting in place very progressive laws and a real shift taking place in public opinion too. And popular culture is part of that. So having people like Daniela Mercury out there visibly talking about these issues is beginning to change opinion in the region. And we're seeing that on the ground.
And how polarized is the issue of LGBTI rights in Latin America?
Well, it still polarizes people. There are still people who find this very difficult subject to talk about, to confront. And I think we need to constantly find new ways of talking about this, not in a necessarily a political way or in a kind of hectoring, lecturing way, but in a way that humanizes this. Because in the end, we're talking about people who just want to be treated with respect and accepted for who they are.
Programs that promote women's entrepreneurship and educate adolescents about HIV and AIDS have changed the lives of more than 6,000 people in Zimbabwe. That's according to Stella S. Dongo, who heads the Community Empowerment Project, which was established as a means to lessen the impact of the 2008 global economic meltdown on citizens of the Southern African country. Ms. Dongo was recently honored by Rotary as a global woman of action. The international charity has had a long-standing relationship with the UN and hosts Rotary Day at the UN each November. She tells Deanne Penn why it is important to invest in women and young people during tough times.
Women, because they feel the brunt of the economic situation, they are the ones that feel the pain and the burden of feeding families, and most of them are largely unemployed. When it comes to employment, obviously, whatever employment is available is quickly snapped up by men, and so women are the ones that are really much more in need. As for youth, we had thousands of young people leaving university and colleges but unable to secure work. So that was our focus.
And now, Stella, tell us about these different projects that you're running.
The trainings and activities were in three parts, really. The first is self-help groups. These self-help groups put the women together in groups, and we provide training in basic business skills. We also train them and help them on how to mobilize their own resources. The second one, youth engagement, we called it youth-friendly corners, to provide the youth with a place where they can hang around and do productive things rather than just being in the streets and being vulnerable to ills of society. So they get training in development and peer education and leadership skills. And we provide them with equipment such as computers and so on. The third one, we called it Living Well Program. The Living Well Program provided information and education on AIDS and HIV and how to live well and to look after those that are affected.
And Stella, what impact have you seen among the people who are the participants in your project? How has it changed their lives?
For starters, we trained over 6,000 young people and women who directly went through the training itself. We found that the overall impact, when you take into account average family size and the spin-off, was more than 250,000 that benefited. In terms of qualitative, you just need to meet these women and these young people. They definitely have a sense of self-worth, and they talk about being able to earn their own living and being able to look after themselves and having thriving businesses.
Women in Afghanistan want peace, but not at any cost, according to a UN human rights and gender expert in the country. The Central Asian nation continues to recover from decades of instability, including the threat posed by the outlawed Taliban movement, with which the government is trying to forge a peace deal. Frederica Samandi is a human rights officer for the UN mission in Afghanistan, UNAMA. Daniel Dickinson asked her what changes Afghan women would like to see in the country.
Women recognize, on one hand, that their status has improved considerably since the fall of the Taliban regime in 2001. However, they're still confronted by significant challenges hindering their full enjoyment of human rights. What changes do they want? I think Afghan women want life without violence. The country has been unfortunately affected by conflict for decades. The conflict has decimated families, has forced Afghans to leave their own countries, their villages, it's crippled economy. So Afghan women want what any Afghan, I believe, want. They want peace in the country. However, they don't want peace at any cost. They're quite firm in telling UNAMA that they definitely don't want the hard-won gains achieved on women's empowerment and gender equality roll back and compromise in any peace agreement.
What improvements have you seen?
I've been in the country for a year and 9 months. From my personal experience, I've seen definite improvements in the legal framework that guarantees de jure the status of women. For example, the Afghan government has adopted a number of policies recently that enshrined the commitment to gender equality. So that is definitely an encouraging development. However, such commitments are not always translated into reality. For example, funding constraints hamper often the implementation of certain laws and commitments made by the Afghan government.
Do you think you're getting the right type of support from the Afghan government, from the Afghan authorities?
The commitment is definitely there. However, I think that due to the security situation in the country, very often the resources and the attention of the government is drained by concerns of keeping the country safe and fighting, you know, the current conflict. But from my point of view, the government is showing a commitment to gender equality.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for listening. I'm Veronica Reeves.